Okay, it's 7 o'clock. Welcome to the City Council meeting for the City of Troy Hills, Monday, December 12th. 10.0, call to order, roll call. Mr. Stahl?
Mayor Proton Jennings?
Present.
Alderman McCowan?
Present.
Alderman Chanel?
Present.
Mayor Sanford?
Present.
Alderman Hoskins?
Present.
Alderman Bowles?
Present.
We have a quorum?
Yes. We're on 2.0, Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
On
the Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
3.0, special presentation. There are none. 4.0, council reports and requests. There's none. 5.0, public hearings and public comments. 5.1, public comments. This is the opportunity for the public to address council or comment on items which appear on the agenda. Time is limited to 5 minutes per speaker. Comments are to be directed to the city council, and dialogue with the audience is not permitted. Council members are prohibited by law from participating in discussion or deliberation of items not specifically identified on the agenda. We're going to start over here. Yes,
good evening. My name is Wayne Thompson. I'm a former employee with the
Take
city.
Your address, please.
I do not live in the city limits of Shore Acres. My name is Wayne Thompson. I'm a former employee of the Shore Acres Police Department. I understand you cannot respond. Several months ago, the mayor was directed to issue me an apology letter for the action she took regarding my employment with the city. To date, that has yet to be received. I would ask that if the mayor will not issue such a letter, that maybe the mayor pro tem would issue it or the council would. Thank you.
Anything? Let's go back here. Anybody down here? Nobody? Is that it? Get your name and address, please.
I'm Neil Moore, living at 1118 North Country Club Drive. I'd like to make several observations. I'd like the council to consider sending a commendation letter to Decker, our waste handling firm. Decker has continued to try to encourage people to do recycling. They delivered brand new recycling bins to all the people who had signed up a couple weeks ago. They are not under any obligation to continue that, but they're showing, I believe, a certain amount of civic mindedness. And I think a letter of commendation from the council would be certainly justly deserved. On the flip side of that, we have folks around who still seem to haven't figured out that there's A, no heavy pickup, and B, they keep dumping stuff. I can point to several examples. A homeowner on Bayou Forest, whose homeowner association wouldn't appreciate if she dumped all her prunings on Bayou Forest, but instead dumped them on West Country Club, where they reside, semi-permanent repose. There's also additional deposit of material cleared from property that's at Bayou and North Country Club. It's been there on the corner for quite a while. The corner that it's on is not where this debris originated from. It originated from the property across North Country Club. That's north to Bayou. The owner of that property sent somebody in there apparently to clear up occasionally, and there have been some more trash deposited across the street. So I think there's a certain amount of irresponsibility there. There's also other deposits on South Country Club. I think you should send the code enforcement officers, who I understand are the chief's officers, around to give them a little holiday cheer that notice maybe that their material needs to be removed post-haste. Finally, I'd like to comment. Hopefully the mayor will see an opportunity to make some adjustments on their travel expenses. I recently traveled and was able to rent a car for 6 days, including gasoline, for less than the mayor seems to think she deserves for mileage. Given the fiscal limitations of the city, it would be nice to see the mayor contribute something to the community of as part of her public service and defer at least that part of the travel expenses she's expecting. I hope the council will take that issue up when that comes up. Thank you very much. Bye.
Moving on to 6.0, Administrative Report. 6.1, General Activity Report from Administrator David Starr.
Good evening. 6.1.1, the 2017 election update. Last week, I posted the notice of candidate filing deadlines outside on the building. We're 3 weeks out from the first day to apply for a ballot by mail on January 1st. The first day to file for a place on the city's election ballot this year will be January the 18th, Wednesday the 18th. So that's coming up quickly. And the last day to file for a place on the ballot will be Friday, February 17th. I just wanted to let you know that the dates had all moved up, and that's going to be the schedule for next year's May 6th, 2017 election. Next item I have is 6.1.2, playground equipment. Largely through the efforts of Mayor Sanford with LBC, we got a substantial increase in their contribution towards playground equipment for Circle Park. They have sent the city a check for $54,476.26 for the purchase of playground equipment. The Parks and Recreation Group has been working with a vendor. That's where that number came from. And the ball is in the vendor's court right now to complete the HGAC purchase agreement or to go through the buy board. Either way, they have a form to file, and the purchasing action will go through one of those entities because it is over the dollar amount requiring a bid, and both of those qualify as having been pre-bids, so we can purchase that equipment. Looking forward to place that order through one of those two as soon as possible. And that's where we are on the playground equipment.
Can I say something about the playground equipment?
Sure.
I spoke to Mormon's office, and they're coming up on their budget. And so Jeremy had called me back, and they're going to try to also help us with the park this year. And then I guess you've been talking to him about sweeping.
Yes.
And I've talked to them about maintaining the center median. They don't know if they can maintain it the way that we maintain it, but they could possibly start maintaining it to help reduce on the gabbies.
Okay.
I just want to let you know about that. Is that it?
Good.
6.2, Monthly Police Department Report, Chief Harrison.
Thank you. There is one code enforcement officer, just I, not several of us. Just so as council knows, code enforcement was a school that you had to attend, and then you had to take a state test, an asset test, before you're allowed to call yourself a code enforcement officer. It's actually illegal to call yourself a code enforcement officer if you have not done that. So I'm careful on who I allow to make code enforcement decisions. However, after the first of the year, I hope to have an officer that's currently employed with us that has some experience in code enforcement give me a hand with that, so it's not all on my shoulders, because I do let things get away from me. I don't intend to, but they do. The piles that come up, I try to visit those piles every now and again and look at the trash that's been put on it to see if there might be some information in that trash that will take us back to the person that dumped it. But normally, it's nothing that's written on. Normally, it's debris like brush, and that's usually what gangs and how. But you have my police report for November 2016. As I look at this, I bring the same thing to your attention that I speak of every month. The suspicious persons, suspicious vehicle type calls are the ones that I'm most impressed with, because that means our citizens trust the police department, and that means that they call in when they see things that they don't think is right. This is a public cry right now for all across our nation, where they say to see something, say something. And our community does that very well. We get a lot of calls that turn out to be nothing. In fact, thankfully for our community, a great majority of our calls turn out to be nothing. But they do get logged down here, and that's probably what we respond to almost half the time, is things that turn out to be nothing. And I'm thankful for that. I'm never upset with that. Other than that, these are typical things that we see this time of year. It seems like the theft picks up this time of year, and we've had a couple of thefts. I'll encourage our citizens this time of year to make sure that when you're not home, that you leave doors locked, windows locked, and when Christmas comes and goes, be careful with the garbage you put outside. When you put the the computer box and things outside, you're just advertising to people that drive around that you have a brand new computer or TV at home inside. So be cautious with that. And I'll take questions.
Burglaries, there's two of them. Were they residential or unfounded or what?
We had one burglary last month that was a good burglary, and it occurred on Sunrise. It was a open window, and the property that was removed was TVs and things like that. I don't have any leads on it right now. I don't belong to Leads Online. You're probably familiar with what Leads Online is. I had a temporary subscription of that to try to locate that particular property, and there was nothing there that matched serial number, model number, or anything like that.
One other question in regards to the trash that's being dumped. Does the police department have any of the covert gang cameras at this time?
Negative.
Okay. Would one help y'all if you could get one?
I've looked at those before. Mr. Stahl and I actually talked about that a couple of years ago. The problems that we've had dumping in the past has been kind of hard to... Now, the newer gang cameras that use cellular technology and not so much to have electricity run to them and all, we have to have something like that. The one that the citizen speaks of is on that corner there. I'm sure that if we had one, we could get it up somewhere.
Okay.
Like everything else, throw money at it, see if it fixes it.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
There was down at the end of Short Acres Boulevard across from my house, there was fire departments and things like that. There was there a gas leak or something?
There's a gas leak there. Fire department center point said it was less than, I forget the number, it's a very small leak, and they should have it repaired within 7 to 10 days, according to what they told us. They said there was no ignition source in there, that they were not just, that they weren't worried about any problems it might have.
Did someone just smell it? Or?
Yes, ma'am. Somebody reported it after they smelled it.
So is it safe to drive by there or walk by there smoking a cigarette? And is it a hazard?
You know, Centerpoint came out, they're the experts, and they told me it was not an issue.
Okay, all right.
I wouldn't walk by with a cigarette.
No, I know. Jimbo had said he was walking by there and you told him not to smoke, so I just wondered how bad it was.
I wouldn't smoke. Just to be okay. A risk manager.
Do you have any complaints about golf carts or anything like reckless driving, anything like that on?
Normally during the summer those calls will pick up a little bit, but we don't know that I'm aware of. We're not having any calls.
Are you monitoring the drinking and driving on the golf carts?
Not monitoring it.
Like, are you enforcing that? If you see someone drinking and driving, are you allowing it?
Well, we drive around town constantly looking for infractions. If we see something, we'll certainly take action.
Okay.
A lot of people, in golf courses, just speaking from personal experience, they drive around with cups. I have no idea what's in the cup. Yeti cups. I'm guessing it's water. I don't know.
Chief Animal Control, you list two things here. I mean, what's the general, what's happening with animal control in the city right now?
The first thing, animal control is not the police department, it's public works. But we get a large, I got a call today, they had a dog at the yacht club that nobody could handle, so it's called out to handle it. I have nobody trained, and I hope nobody ever gets bit. These two calls, one of them was a bat that was found on Bayou Forest that we had to capture and take to animal control, and they euthanized it instead of them to have it tested for rabies. It came back negative. Dogs are obviously our biggest problem. We just are so limited in what we can do when we have loose dogs. We have nowhere to keep them, and we have no way of providing shelter once we accept what we're responsible for. And I know that we're not real popular sometimes when we get called. If a dog's not vicious and not a threat to anybody, it's difficult for us to do anything with.
Sure, I was just wondering what the general state of the city was.
Yeah, I think it's gotten better, actually, but then there's sometimes during the week, I feel like that's all we do. It's kind of up and down.
Speaking of dogs, Luke, an old employee, contacted me and said the city was dumping their remains over on the other side of the hill, Pup Station 2. Do you know anything about that? Harrison or Mr.
I don't have, no matter.
No. Do you know anything about that?
About what?
About the city dumping animals on the other side of Lift Station 2?
That would be Lift Station 1. Mm-hmm. And we do relocate possums and raccoons and other wildlife that are nuisance in the city. We don't kill them. We just release them over there.
Okay.
On the railroad tracks.
So there's no dog remains over there?
No,
okay.
Dogs never go over there.
Okay. All right. Moving on to 6.3, Monthly Public Works Department Report, Eric Ingram.
Yeah, I'll stand in for him. There's a couple things in here I want to note. In the very brief memo, the new toilet paper dispensers, those are not just toilet paper dispensers. They are almost what you find in a prison. They are enclosed roll dispensers that are vandal resistant. I guess nothing's vandal proof. But we have had for years a problem with keeping toilet paper in the restrooms and keeping it out of the commode in bulk. And so these have been installed, and we're hoping that we can have better service there. There's also a note here about a fire hydrant in the West Country or the South Country Club. Back in the 80s, when they were developing what is now Bioforest on the south end, in that subdivision, they installed the water mains and fire hydrants, and they ran a line between the houses on Bioforest back to West Country Club and set a hydrant. Unfortunately, the developers set that hydrant not in the street right-of-way, but what later would become someone's backyard. That yard was never fenced, and when someone decided that they'd like to fence the yard for their children, they discovered that they have a fire hydrant in their backyard, which doesn't do them much good and certainly doesn't do us any good. So we relocated that fire hydrant. It's taken a while to get it done, but we have now moved that out into the street right of way. There's also a valve on that line that is not fully open, and so we're not getting a proper flow out of that hydrant. We have yet to resolve that issue, but at least that fire hydrant has been moved. I would also point out that we've had a pretty good month of not having water leaks or breaks. We did have one large line on Bioforest that we thought was going to be a problem. That old line there is AC, asbestos concrete line, an 8-inch main. And when we excavated that after notifying everybody that the water would be off all day, we found it was a failed clamp from a prior break. And we were able to just replace the clamp and have the water back on in just about 2 hours. So didn't lose much water, and we didn't spend much time. And that's the public works report.
Moving on to 7.0 business, 7.1, consideration and approval of invoices. Do we have a motion?
We make a motion that we pay our invoices.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
So we have a motion to pay our invoices brought by Alderwoman Schnell, seconded by Gold. Do we want discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Passes unanimously. Moving on to 7.2, consideration and approval of Mayor Sanford's travel expenses. Do we have a motion?
I make a motion that we pay the mayor's travel expenses that were incurred before the change of the budget.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
So we have a motion to approve Mayor Sanford's travel expenses brought by Alderman Schnell, seconded by Hoskins. Do we have discussion?
I just want to say, I think in fairness, I mean, this trip that you took was planned in August before the budget was ever submitted. It's basically standard expenses, and I think that, Mayor, you perhaps ought to address some of the charges that you did not make, you didn't charge for, because I noticed.
I charged for 3 nights at the hotel instead of 4. I was requested to attend a hearing in Austin by Mayor Bechtel of Morgan's Point, and I also attended the Resolutions Committee with Rigby and Bechtel, where they were passing whether or not TML would present to legislature this year the heavy haul limits. And that passed, so they will be putting that to legislature, and hopefully they will limit the heavy load limits. But I also was able to meet the people that were getting our playground equipment from. So it was a really nice meeting, and it was real informative, and it benefited the city. So that's why I attended.
just a comment real quickly about Mr. Moyer's suggestion. I think that's something that we should look at as a city, because renting a car can be cheaper.
Yeah.
I wholeheartedly agree. I mean, standard is 54 cents a mile, but if we can just do something cheaper, why not do it? I think it's an excellent suggestion.
We reimburse Mr. Saul also for mileage the same way. And last year we had a budget when Moses was on council. Saul had stated on the record that Moses had never written off any expenses, but we had $2,600 in mayor and council expenses. It's the mayor's duty to attend these things and to be present at these things. That's one of the main things that, you know, if you look at TML, they'll say that this is what the mayor does, is they attend these things, they do ribbon cutting. So it's part of my duties, you know, under state law and our city ordinances. I'm supposed to be reimbursed for it. I didn't charge for my food. I didn't charge for the parking. I didn't charge for the additional day at the hotel, and I stayed with my mother-in-law one of those days. So I didn't charge mileage back and forth or anything like that. Otherwise, it probably would have been twice as much. So I tried to save the city a little bit. And that's it.
I'm going to say for my ask a question of Mr. Saul. Mr. Saul, are any of the charges incurred by Mayor Sanford out of the ordinary, for example, you know, when I've gone to TML, like newly elected official conferences, anything out of the ordinary?
No, it's the conference hotel, and it's the IRS reimbursement rate for mileage, which is what our standard is.
So nothing out of the ordinary.
And the registration is the normal registration, that's right.
Thank you.
Do we have further discussion?
I have a question in regards to our budget already having been passed, and due to the fact this is an amount of nearly $1,000, where are we going to rob Peter to pay Paul out of our budget? What do you propose, Mayor?
This was from last year's budget, so it should be going by that, and there were still mileage left over from what we had budgeted, and there was still mayor and council expenses left over to cover it. So this is not for this budget, it's last budget. I don't, you know, it's the same way when we paid our invoices last month, and they were, some of them were from the month before, you know, for the old budget, it's kind of the same.
But to be clear, this happened in the fiscal year that we're currently talking about after October 1st?
No, I went prior to the new budget. Oh, October 4th. I think it's when the...
October 4th.
Yeah. And the expenses, I paid for this stuff. Some of it, the registration was prior to...
So to Mr. McCallum's point, the proper format here is to introduce a budget amendment, I believe, so that we can continue to balance the budget.
Looking at the conference payment that was made on the 19th of August, which clearly was the previous year's budget.
And the reservations for the hotel were made prior to also.
It was paid in full.
Yes, because Mr. Saul said that I had to pay for it and attend prior to being reimbursed. I'm not sure that's the standard for all employees. I think just last month, these invoices, or last, the meeting before last, we had approved Chief Harrison's travel expenses for January. So it's not uncommon to pay for these things and then pay them later.
Mr. Saul, how historically have we handled these situations?
Well, we do reimburse for travel to the employees. There are occasions when we prepay a hotel, for example, if we know where it's at, we can get a statement from the hotel in advance. We've done that. We're on an accrual basis, and the hotel expenses are in this fiscal year. It wouldn't be in last fiscal year even if you paid for them last year, just like we can't buy something today and charge it against last fiscal year.
Was this turned into you before the new budget was adopted?
Yes, it was. But after the last budget had expired.
But when the last budget expires, we automatically go back to the previous year's. Try not to call on everybody. Previous year's budget by default until a new one is adopted.
That's correct.
It carries over.
The budget numbers. No. The budget numbers go forward to your new fiscal year, but the charges do not apply to the last fiscal year. They apply to the new fiscal year.
Okay. But when these amounts were turned in, because this budget that we're operating in now had not yet been passed by council, then we were in that like no man's land where the numbers were carrying forward from prior year.
That's correct.
Okay.
And the only thing we paid were the routine expenditures. We held off on making any other purchases in that window. I mean, it would be like the chief would love to run out and buy a police car while we were in a limbo because there was one in the prior year budget, but it doesn't work that way.
Right. All right. Thank you.
Any other?
I just have one question regarding the once this registration fee was entered in, if there was a cancellation, was it reimbursable?
No, it's not.
Not reimbursable. So therefore, under accrual accounting rules, that should have been in last year's budget because you pay for it. It's not reimbursable. It should go under last year's budget, that portion of it at a minimum. Had it been reimbursable, then we would have accrued it at the time we used it.
So I agree with that.
So at a minimum, partial of these expenses do go into last year's budget.
I would think the registration, you'd have an argument for that, yes.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
And there were funds in the budget for that registration, correct?
Yes.
Could I ask a question about the registration?
Sure.
The form says that it was not prepaid.
It was prepaid.
I'm just looking at the form.
Let me see.
It says no.
That's actually a receipt that you're looking at.
It says registration prepaid. No.
It's amount paid, $295.
Right.
That's in August.
Oh, here. You have the reference number 1697.
Yep.
I'm just looking at the total travel request and expense form. And it says that it was not.
I did not mark that. That's something that.
Yeah.
That's wrong.
All of them, Jennings, that means that the city did not prepay it. That doesn't
yeah.
mean it wasn't prepaid by the employee or official.
We're going to vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those against?
Aye.
Nay.
And so it fails. The nays are Alderman Jennings, Bowles, and McCown, and the ayes are Schnell and Hopkins.
Can I make a statement?
Mm-hmm.
If Mayor Sanford would resubmit this with the hotel registration and a budget amendment for the other stuff, I'd be willing to reconsider that.
I agree.
Okay. All right, moving on to 7.3.
Can I ask a question, Council?
Please do.
Does Council have an objection to booking the registration into last year's budget and paying that?
No.
No.
You have no objection to doing that?
No.
Okay. Then that's what I'll do. Thank you.
So we just need a budget amendment for the remaining?
Correct.
Okay, 7.3, consideration and approval of ordinance number 2016-238, ending the use of the city online message board in accordance with Texas Government Code Section 551006. Alderman Jennings.
I make motion that we approve ordinance number 2016-238, which is an ordinance amending the code of the city of Shore Acres, ending the use of the city online message board in compliance with Texas Government Code Section 551.006, containing a severability clause, making various findings and provisions relating to the subject, finding compliance with the open meetings law, and providing an effective date hereof.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Yes, we have a motion for consideration and approval of ordinance number 2016-238, ending the use of the city online message board in accordance with Texas Government Code Section 56106, brought by Alderman Jennings, seconded by Alderman Bowles. Do we have discussion?
Yeah, obviously I've been in favor of this for some time. I voted for it several times, even when other people didn't. After the last time we voted for it to keep it in place, we still can't seem to use it for the intended purposes. If you want specifics, I can do that, but I'd rather just say that and take a vote on it.
Anybody else?
I'd like to speak to the pending to blow my nose, and I don't like to blow my people. Sorry about that. I just want to. This is a huge setback for the citizens to be able to follow and see what's going on with council. Transparency, open government. It's not just something that's being pushed here in Shore Acres. If you look at it nationally, it's a big thing. Goes up to our state level or our federal government level. Sometimes we've been in the dark. And I think this would be a tremendous step backwards. And the meeting of October the 24th, when this first came up, it was ordinance 2016-223. And I thought that my colleague here, Alderman McMahon, said it the best. He said that we were custodians of this bulletin board. And that he'd like to see it continue 4 to 6 months, not weeks, and revisit it then. And if people, you know, hadn't learned how to use it properly, then absolutely the dissolution of it would be in order. I think this is a great tool for the citizens. I think it's a good tool for council when used properly. There's a caveat there. But I would hate to see this go away. It took a lot of time and effort to get this passed. And that's all I have to say. And I'm just going to step in the hall and vote on that.
You want us to wait on you?
No, you can go ahead. I'll put the door open. I'm not back.
Anyone else?
I would like the floor. May. Clearly, I can understand the reason why this resolution has been brought forward. And there have been multiple times where the bulletin board system has not been used appropriately. But I can think of multiple instances where it actually has. For example, the very last special meeting, I posted on there that I was in favor of it, and it allows me to explain to the rest of council and citizens about why I wanted to do that special meeting. And Alderwoman Chanel and I both posted in a very appropriate manner. And I can think of other instances. For example, Section 7.6, consideration approval of Resolution 2016-218, authorizing timely payment of routine invoices. That's a perfect place for us to talk about that particular resolution. What should be included, what shouldn't be included. All the bulletin board system is an extension of a city meeting. Because the bulletin board system hasn't been used properly, what if the city meetings aren't being done properly? Do we just cancel city meetings? Why don't we just get rid of city meetings if we can't behave? No, the issue is to keep transparency, keep our open city meetings, keep the bulletin board system so we can have those communications. It also means that taking it down sends an improper message. In my mind, it sends a message that the city has something to hide. We're taking transparency away. That says we're trying to hide something. I think it's not the appropriate response. We need to fix it in a different manner. And that is to actively use it in the manner that it's intended. Thank you.
Anybody else?
How do you... We have rules here in our meetings, correct? Robert's rules before, correct? Can't use that on the message board. Somebody can run off and make comments, post wrong things. I'm just as guilty as using it improperly. I no longer use it. If I have something to say, I say it here. How do you regulate it? That's my question. So if we're going to have rules, how do you enforce the rules? Or unenforceable rules? Here, at least, you've got rules
they're required by law. We're recorded. And I just think that at this point in time, we're not using it properly. Be done with it.
Anyone else?
Yeah, I would like to report back, if I may. Let me find which one is this. This is 2.8. In our city code, it specifically states under, well, I just read the part of it. Users shall not post messages where the content may be construed to violate any section of, the, of this code, of city code. That includes, which one am I looking for now? Over here. That includes section 2-82B1 of the city code, which specifically states that the city staff, the mayor, and council members shall show mutual respect to one another. So the way this code is written for the bullet board system, and we will be addressing here in a little bit that particular code regarding how we treat each other with mutual respect. There is no difference in whether it's on the bulletin board system or it's here at the meeting. It's already in there. It's in our city code specific to the bulletin board system. That's what that, it was section 5 was intended to cover. It also covers, obviously Robert's rules is slightly different because people have the floor and you can't, bulletin board system, you can't interrupt them, but it's there. There are ways to do that.
So somebody can just go out there, post it, be done, say, oh, my bad. And that's what's going on. That
well, that's what's going on at council, too.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it can happen during a council meeting as well. So let's just get rid of council meetings. You know? It's not, getting rid of the bulletin board system is not the solution. Taking away transparency does not solve the problem. This is, reminds me of, if your only tool is a hammer, then every problem looks like a nail. Let's find other tools to solve this problem. This isn't it. And that's all I have to say about it.
Is that the end of the debate? So we're going to vote on Alderman Jennings' motion for consideration and approval of Ordinance Number 26-38, ending the use of the city online message board in accordance with Texas Government Code Section 551006, seconded by both. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those against?
Nay.
Okay, so the ayes have it. The ayes are Alderman Jennings, McCown, and Bowles, and the nays are Snell and Hoskins. Moving on to 7.4, consideration and action to adopt resolution number 2016-17, authorizing the execution of an interlocal agreement with the city of LaPorte for the purpose of providing municipal court services. David Stahl? Do we, okay, so we have a motion. Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve resolution number 2016-217, a resolution approving and authorizing the mayor to enter into an interlocal contract with the city of LaPorte to provide municipal court services, making various findings for business relating to the subject, finding compliance with the open meetings law, and providing an effective date hereof.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
So we have a motion to approve resolution number 2016-217 brought by Alderman Jennings, seconded by Bowles. Do we have discussion?
You'd like me to speak to it?
Sure.
Okay. I've been in negotiations with the city manager of LaPorte, with the municipal court administrator of LaPorte, and the municipal court judge of LaPorte, and have come to consensus on an agreement, which is in your packet attached to this resolution. It works for us financially. And that this is for $58,500 per year.
It'll be prorated this year, so it will be the remaining balance of months in this fiscal year, which is within our budget, what we currently have budgeted for our court clerk individually. The other expenses for municipal court will stay in there, and we will continue to take care of those costs under this contract, such as the printing of forms and some of our other expenses, such as software. The City of LaPorte's been very helpful in the process. We've had, in addition to several meetings, we've had 3 days when municipal court clerks have come here to observe our operation in advance of there being an agreement, in anticipation of an agreement. Thursday night of last week, we had a municipal court clerk came in 3 hours before court and stayed through court, through the first hour of court, to see how our operation works so that we can do the transition smoothly. This will take a lot of expenses off of the City of Shore Acres, other expenses, and also will move municipal court to a larger facility with better parking, better access to more clerks. Payment of fines would not change. It still go directly to our account. Same credit card account that we have now, at least initially. Same telephone pay, pay by phone, pay online. Those would all stay in place initially, unless there was some reason to move to that. LaPorte would also take over our Omni entry, our Sensic entry, management of our warrants, and paperwork there. We go on their ENCODE software and a separate account for the City of Shore Acres, so it is separate in terms of the accounting database in LaPorte. And then when they migrate from, currently they have a cloud-based internet-based system, and they're migrating that to their own server equipment later next year, or early next year, and we would make that migration with them. I don't see any big issues that have cropped up. We would keep our same prosecutor. We keep our same municipal court judge. At the next meeting, our next meeting that night, the City of LaPorte will take up this agreement if we pass it tonight and consider it. And at that meeting, we would take up the appointment of municipal court clerks so we could appoint their clerks to be able to serve as clerks of this court.
I didn't hear you. Could you repeat the last sentence?
Yeah, at our next meeting, they will also be looking at this agreement, but we'd move forward with the appointment of municipal court clerks.
Okay.
In essence, we would take their court clerks and we would name them as municipal court clerks in the City of Shore Acres.
Okay.
So that would be the overlap portion. So we would have several improvements in our court operation. There is a hook in here. If we go over 1,800 citations in a year, which we have not done, that it would be an additional charge per citation. But at that point, that would also affect what our fines would be that would offset that. The only change here that I see that might be of some interest, although it's not the council's bailiwick, but I want you to be aware of it, is that one of the baseline requirements is that our court adopt the window fine schedule that LaPorte has. And what that amounts to is the amount that's printed on the ticket that you could pay if you just mail it in, or if you come and just pay the fine, would be the same charge as what the City of LaPorte has. And that simplifies it for clerks that are collecting for multiple cities to know what that window amount is. It would be an increase over what we currently have. I have visited with our municipal court judge and prosecutor in this process, and our judge has no problem with adopting the window fines that the court has. I just want to make you aware that would be a change. Someone goes to court, everything is just the same. The prosecutor and the judge have all the same leeway to reduce fines or do other things, but if you're going to pay in advance, it would be at the same rate as the court in Morgan's Point. And I'll answer any questions you have. I think I've kind of covered most places.
I have a question. When it goes to March for warrant roundup, will the City of LaPorte go ahead and make our phone calls for us like they do for theirs, since it's the municipality doing it?
Yes, and actually, I'm glad you raised that, because one of the things they use is the Connect 5 system, and they have their software integrates with that. So it automatically makes reminder phone calls to people that they have a court date. It makes reminder phone calls to people when they have an amount due to the court, and that significantly increases attendance and the collection of fines. You reduce the number of people who forget to come to court and forget to make a payment, and that's all automated phone calls, and it will do the same thing on the war roundups.
And one other question, because of our limited personnel, how far behind are we with the Omni system getting warrants in? About how many warrants do we have, and how long will it take to get that up to date, do you think?
We're not behind at all, and never have been with Omni.
Okay.
We have not begun the entry process with SESIC, and that has been put on hold, and it will be a clean start with LaPorte, and they'll start with our current. The migration between the two computer systems is we have our computer system, which will be remoted there so that they have full access to all of our records. Then we will buy a seat on M-Code, and then they will start putting in all the current docket information for things that are pending for court, and then they'll start working backwards in time until they put everything in.
Okay.
Court would be held here?
No, court would be held.
Everything's in LaPorte.
Everything would be held at the LaPorte Municipal Court Building. You know, we have this room is pretty crowded, particularly for jury trials, and we have no waiting space in inclement weather. So if it's cold or raining, you know, people are outside. And so it's a much better facility for that for us.
I have a question. Have you looked into hiring somebody for a municipal clerk, or are we kind of banking on this passing?
I have not been pursuing a replacement clerk.
Because she's going to be leaving on the 20th, so now we're kind of in a pickle. We kind of have to do this, or we're going to lose our municipal clerk and have nobody trained.
Well, that's not entirely true. This would not take over until February.
Okay.
And so we will, even if we do this tonight and before did it in 2 weeks, and we're all on board, we would not be fully transitioned to LaPorte until February. And so for January, we would continue to do it here. We have three court clerks. We have three people that have court clerk status, and that will split the work.
They all know how to bridge the gap. LaPorte's also good, too, because, you know, City Hall is a safe zone. You can, if you not paid your ticket or something, you can go up there and they won't try to arrest you while you're paying your ticket. So I like that. But do we have any other debate? Is there anybody else that has questions?
I've got a question specifically about SESIC. We did put, I believe, $15,000 in this year's budget for the software for SESIC. So will we still have to pay $15,000 out?
No, that's not for software.
Oh, it's.
We joined SESIC, which is a collaborative organization. We paid our admission fee to that, and we're a member.
Okay.
Then you pay 15, I think it's 15 cents per warrant is put into the system. And so we have, in essence, allocated money to put warrants in. If we don't put warrants in, we don't spend money. If we put warrants in, we do, and we can.
But am I right on the budget number? Somewhere around?
Yes.
$15,000?
Yes, but that's just a per warrant fee for putting them in the system.
Wow.
And there is a difference with Omni as well. Currently, and this will be an increased cost for us, it's $6 per charge on Omni when it's disposed of, when they pay a fine. Omni is what puts it on your driver's license that you have something that has to be taken care of. We only put on one charge. So if we write you a ticket for no driver's license, no insurance, and an illegal left turn, we just pick one of those and we report that to Omni to go on the driver's license record. We just do the one $6. In LaPorte, they report all three. Everything that's on the ticket gets reported separately. So that will be that would be an increase. But that will come out of fine money, because only when they're found guilty do we get charged that. But that number will increase. We'll see it. It'll pass through.
Now, did we not, though, in the 14-15 budget, didn't we spend like $5,000 and sent Brenda to training for Civic?
It was about $3,000.
$3,000, yes. And she's never utilized it.
And we have had that. That was TCIC, NCIC training, and Brenda and I both had it, and we have had access to the system to look at other records, but we have not put records in.
Great, then sure, fine. Okay, thank you.
For the month of November, it showed on Chief's report that there were two warrant services served. So when we go over to this new system, what do you predict we'll be doing a month? 15, maybe?
I have no idea.
Because every time, if they're on the Omni system and with SETSIC and with the Deer Park, Pasadena, Webster, Kima, Baytown, Deer Park, if they get pulled over, and as soon as that license plate is run, or driver's license, and they get a hit, they will automatically be arrested.
Now, they'll be held to see if we'll come get them, and then it'll be subject to availability of an officer. And I mean, we don't have as many officers as LaBorde, but if we have officers available, then yes.
But it would put all that stuff out in the system, which we don't have right now.
Right.
So right now, it's just in the city of Short Acres. If you have a warrant here and you go to LaPorte, they're not going to be able to pull it up. But if we use LaPorte, they'll be able to pull it. Is that the same thing the OSSI system is supposed to be doing?
The OSSI system will give us even more information and detail.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. Maybe we can collect on all these almost $1 million in warrants.
Okay.
Okay. Do we have any further discussion? Going to vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those against?
Nay.
So we have the ayes have it. It passes. The ayes are Alderman Jennings, Alderman McCown, Alderman Hoskins, Alderman Bowles. The nays are Alderwoman Schnell. Moving on to 7.5, consideration and approval of ordinance number 2016-239, amending City of Troy for City Code Section 66-184, of charges for late payment of utility bills. Jenny.
I make a motion to approve ordinance number 2016-239, an ordinance amending the City of Troy for City Code Section 66-185, waiver of charges for late payment of utility bills, contains a savings clause, contains a severability clause, making various findings and provisions relating to the subject, and finding compliance with the open meetings law, and providing an effective date hereof.
Do you have a second?
I'll second.
We have a motion to approve ordinance number 2016-239, brought by Alderman Jennings, seconded by Alderman Bowles. Do we have discussion?
Yeah, I guess I should explain what I'm doing here. If you read the City Code Section 66-185, it currently reads that the mayor or city administrator may waive a late payment charge upon determination that extenuating circumstances warrant such action. My ordinance removes the mayor from this list of duties that council in the past has given to the mayor. And the reason for that, for my ordinance, is that Mayor Stanford Sipmister saw an email on November the 29th, and it was in response to Mr. Bowles had asked for some utility disconnect list. And in response to that, Mayor Stanford sends this email to Mr. Stahl that says, I believe council voted that no disconnects be done after Wednesday. I believe your disconnect notices are not in compliance with the disconnect policy council passed. You notices are unreasonable and give customers less than 48-hour notice. Additionally, I believe I'm entitled to waive the $10 late fee once per year per city ordinance. I request that you waive the $10 late fee for all the customers on the disconnect list provided below immediately. Mayor Stanford, when you wrote that email, were you going to financially benefit from your instructions?
No.
It says, the last line, I request that you waive the $10 late fee for all the customers on the disconnect list provided below immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because David Stahl sent out disconnect notices that gave like 36 hours. They gave 36 hours notice that they're going to cut off the water of many residences. And in the past, council had passed saying that only disconnect could be done on Wednesdays. He was disconnecting on a Thursday. But then after discussing that with him months and months back, he says that Mayor Moses and him have an administrative policy and decided to do it this way or something. I can't exactly remember. But yeah, I didn't feel that anybody on that disconnect list should have a late penalty when he's giving out 36-hour disconnect notices. I don't think that's fair to our citizens.
Okay, I'll ask the question again. This says this. You wanted him to waive the fee for the customers on the disconnect list provided below. Did you read the list?
No, I didn't.
You didn't read the list?
No. I just wanted them, everyone on the list, to have the disconnect is $10, the disconnect waived, because I didn't feel that his notices were fair to the citizens.
Okay. So even though the ordinance says that extenuating circumstances have to warrant that action, you just decided that you didn't think Mr. Stahl was doing it the right way, and you did not read the list.
No, I did not read the list, and this was not in response to Alderman Bull.
Actually, it was.
No, but that's not the reason why that I decided to do that. Was not because Mr. Bull was going to list.
Only disconnect list provided below. But you now say that you didn't read. Anyway,
no, I didn't read the list.
Anyway, that's why I put this in there. We at some point we have to stop. We just have to act like a city.
We do have to stop.
And we have to stop doing these things that just, you know, when we get mad, we get angry, and we decide to do something. And so that's the reason I have this ordinance here, and I hope you guys vote for it.
Well, I think that something needs to be done about the way that we're sending out our disconnect notices. I don't think that 36 hours is sufficient notice. I don't think that that's what council intended when they passed it. Only disconnects to be done on Wednesday. These were disconnects that were done on Thursday. And like I said, it gave like 36 hours notice. I don't know any utility company that does this. I mean, it's beginning to become, you know, a problem for the citizens. The way that our disconnects are doing, so maybe that's something we need to visit later. But do we have any more discussion?
I'm the one that actually put the policy forth about making limiting disconnects. That was under Mayor Valliere. That's been a long time ago. And the reason being was that if you get your water shut off on Thursday, you get home from work at 5 o'clock. The city's only open half a day on Friday. I mean, it puts people in a pickle. You could be without water until the following Monday, realistically. And that's why, you know, council went through what we did that many years ago. And then I understand that, you know, Mr. Stahl and former Mayor Moses implemented administrative policies. And they don't have to follow the directive of council because it was just a resolution. It's not an ordinance. Just that this is a resolution and not an ordinance. But, you know, I do think it's just the humanity factor of don't shut people's water off when they get home from work at 5, 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night on Thursday. And then it's got to be to work at 5, 6, 7 o'clock in the morning on Friday. You've got to give people the opportunity to pay. Now, with the online bill pay, that does change a few things. But,
well, Alderman Snow, I would just respond. This has nothing to do with cutting anybody's water off.
Oh, it has to do with the waiver and the fee.
Zero.
I know, but you're the one that opened the Pandora's box on the list of disconnect.
Well, it's in the email. That's why. You know, the Pandora's box. We can read the list if you wish. But.
Well, that's fine. I'm on it, and I paid 2 days prior, so. But, you know, I understand that there is a lot of politics and personal things going on here, and I mean, go ahead and strip the mayor of every single thing you possibly can. I don't agree with carte blanche, everybody on the list.
You can't read the list anyway. The utility information is confidential, and the fact that he even wants to...
As city council members, we're allowed.
You're allowed.
But we can't share it.
That's right. So reading the list is sharing it.
I just said I was on it. That's okay, because I don't pay today.
I do the blanket thing. How many? There's what, 52 disconnects on that list? Is that correct? That's $520 of the city's money.
Well, maybe we should be sending out the notices, giving proper. You know, I mean, you can't give someone 36 hours notice and cut their water off on a Thursday.
When do bills go out?
bills go out usually the 10th. Then on the disconnect list, they're already 45 days in arrears, and they've received a correct bill that they were subject to being disconnected.
Yeah, that was 36 hours notice.
45 days on the bill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, disconnect notice is 36 hours.
That's more than net 30 on a bill. So that's still money that's owed to the city.
The council passed that it should only be put off on one screen, but we don't seem to follow.
No, this has nothing to do with being Wednesday. It's the fact that there are people that aren't paying on time. And we're going to waive $520 of the city's money blanketly. That's the issue.
The issue is that Mr. Stahl is not doing the disconnect on Wednesday like he's supposed to, and he's not giving, he's not giving the disconnect in a timely manner.
On behalf of the floor, I tend to say this is a little bit of a different problem. As it pertains to the disconnect. Disconnect is what is the policy as well. I mean, I agree to a point, yeah. on the late part. We could have a disconnect on the policy because the policy was set in place by City Council back in the errands, and it said you can only disconnect on a Wednesday or prior, like Monday, Tuesday's fine, but not on a Thursday or a Friday. That was set. However, and I exchanged emails with Mr. Stahl about the same issue almost a year ago, and at that point, the mayor had the power to change that policy. So, quite frankly, as far as the policy goes, with the disconnect here is, Madam Mayor, just change the policy. You have that power. Mayor Moses had the power. You have the power.
I just wanted to go back to what council election voted on. That's fair person.
And you should have the power. Am I correct? She has the power to do that, just as Mayor Moses said the power to change what City Council voted on.
I
have the email thread still.
Yeah, I understand. I have, I don't believe that Council passed a resolution. I do know the City Code says that no notice is required. And we are on about our fourth generation of the policy. But yes, that's correct. What is in place now is an administrative policy that I put forward. Can be changed.
I would like to change that to reflect what council actually voted on. Disconnect should be done on Wednesdays and not according to whatever policy you decide to put together.
The current policy says Wednesday, except when authorized by the city administrator. And we put off the disconnects for a full week because of Thanksgiving. So we did not disconnect on Wednesday before Thanksgiving, which would have been the policy day. If that's what you'd like me to do, is to disconnect water on Wednesday before Thanksgiving weekend. I can do that, but I don't think that was a prudent thing to do.
Wednesday or Thursday.
I'm sorry, I'm going to butt in, but if you can't
you're just hoping council meeting,
time,
and if you...
Like, I'm walking, don't worry, but if you can't pay your bill on time and give you a 45-day notice,
you need to
pay
the
bill.
So do we have any further discussion? Okay, we're going to vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those against?
Aye.
It passes. Alderman Jennings, Alderman Golden, Alderman McCann are the ayes, and Snell and Hopkins are the nays. 7.6, consideration approval resolution number 2016-218, authorizing the time of payment of certain routine invoices prior to City Council review. Do we have a motion?
I will make a motion that we pass resolution 2016-219. Resolution by the City of Troy Acres suspending the effective date for 90. Oh, that's the wrong one.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Okay, I told y'all I messed up and took the Michael into the day, so I'm sorry. Consideration approval of Resolution 2016-218 authorizing the timely payment of certain routine invoices prior to the City Council's review.
Okay, so do we have a second?
I'll second.
So we have a motion to approve resolution number 2016-218 brought by Alderwoman Schnell, seconded by Bowles. Your discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Passes unanimously.
adopted on 7.7. Consideration approval resolution number 2016-219, extending the authority for 90 days in connection with the statement of intent of the Clearpoint Energy Resources Corporation on or about November 16, 2016, authorized participation in a coalition of similarly situated cities, authorized participation in related rate proceedings, authorizing the retention of special counsel, and requiring reimbursement of municipal rate expenses. Spot by Saul. Do we have a motion?
Yeah, I'll make the motion.
Yeah, I'll let you read it. Thank you.
I make the motion to approve resolution number 2016-219. A resolution by the City of Shore Acres suspending the effective date for 90 days in connection with the statement filed by CenterPoint Energy Resources Corporation, DBA CenterPoint Energy in Texas, and CenterPoint Energy Texas Gas on or about November 16, 2016. Authorizing participation in a coalition of similarly situated cities. Authorizing participation in related rate proceedings. Authorizing the retention of special counsel. Requiring the reimbursement of municipal rate case expenses. Finding that the meeting complies with the Open Meetings Act. Making other findings and provisions related to the subject. And declaring an effective date.
I'll second.
Okay, so we have a motion brought by Alderman Jennings, seconded by Hoskins, on a motion to approve resolution number 2016-219. Do we have discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Passes unanimously. Moving on to 7.8. Consideration and approval of resolution number 2016-210 concerning Mayor Kimberly Campbell's violation of rules of conduct, specifically section 282B1 of the City Code Poll. Do we have a motion?
I make a motion to consider and approve resolution number 2016-220 censoring Mayor Kimberly Stanford for violation of rules of conduct, specifically section 2-82B1 of the city code.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
So we have a motion brought by Alderman Bowles to approve resolution number 2016-220, seconded by Jennings. Do we have a discussion?
Yes. Our city code, section 2-82B1 of the city code, mayor and city council relations with city staff. City staff, the mayor and council members shall show mutual respect to one another. I spend once or twice a week, I come up to city hall. As city council member, you gotta work with the city employees, work with them. November 30th, I go in. Three of the ladies pull me aside and tell me that there was an incident with the mayor and how she was talking to Mr. Stahl. I had each one of them write down separately, away from each other, letters of incidents that happened. I have them right here. Council has read them. Basically, the mayor came in looking for, asking for files, yelling at him, calling him a liar. Shouting profanity at him, and the ladies in the office were really surprised, and they also made the comment that they were very impressed with the way he handled himself. You don't walk into people's offices where they work and yell at them, no matter what your position, whether it's a janitor and a guy working as a store manager or a mayor or a city council member walking in and talking to city employees. You don't go in and yell at people that way. These ladies up here are getting caught in the crossfire. And it's making things difficult for them. Who's to say that one of them doesn't say that they're having emotional issues or trauma and come back and want to sue us? Do we really want to have that for a hostile work environment? Mr. Stahl's got pretty big shoulders. I'm sure he can handle it. But the ladies around, and this has nothing to do with Mr. Stahl, by the way, because he didn't write anything down. I didn't ask him to. I asked the ladies to write it down. Because they're the ones that were traumatized by it and were very upset. And I feel that we all need to treat each other with some respect, face-to-face or otherwise. But coming into an office and yelling at somebody, calling them a liar, calling, just shouting profanities and calling names.
I called them a liar, and I said he was full of shit.
So there you go. So you admit to doing it?
Yeah, I do admit to it.
Okay. So I have no more discussion. She admitted to it. So. But I do feel that our city employees deserve better.
Any further discussion?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you admitted to. I'm laying down here.
I said shit. I told Mr. Stahl that I thought that he was full of shit. That's what I said.
And a liar?
I don't remember calling him a liar, but I was pretty heated because it's been an ongoing battle getting him to do anything. So I was really upset because, you know, Stahl, he said that I'm not signing checks and things like that, and, you know, he puts the checks out there, and I show up to sign them within 24 hours, and Alderman Jennings had already came up and signed them. I didn't think that Alderman Jennings has the authority to approve things. As a budget officer, I think I'm supposed to approve the way that the budget is spent. I'm not sure if council approving those things is, I think you guys are for resolutions and ordinances, but we're going to get to that, probably after the new year. There's going to be some things that are going to be happening, and all this will get cleared up, but that's all I have to say about that. Do we have any further discussion?
Yeah, since you just said that I wasn't authorized to pay the bills, let's just walk through a timeline real quick.
You're authorized to sign.
I'm going to walk through the timeline real quick. Mm-hmm. On Monday before the council meeting at 5:14 p.m., Mayor Sanford sent an email saying that she had strep throat and wouldn't be there. And couldn't be there because she's going to be contagious for the next 24 hours due to strep and will be staying home and resting. The following morning at 7:32 a.m., she sends a note to Mr. Stahl saying she's shocked that he would blame you for your incompetence. Your divide and conquer tactics are tasteless, to say the least. You're late on the bill because you don't pay them on time. That has nothing to do with me. You are dishonest and manipulative. You are a cancer to our city. And then at 3 o'clock on the bulletin board, she states, Mayor Stanford says, the same thing you guys already, all lies and everything. But then she says here, if I'm unable or out of town, I direct Mr. Stahl to have Mayor Pro Tem Jennings sign. This is the day after that you couldn't go to a meeting because you were full of spirit, sick with strep throat. And so Mr. Stahl called me at 3:14 p.m. and asked if I could sign the checks. That was after you had put that on the bulletin board telling him to do so.
No, I was contagious for 24 hours. He sent me the email at 9 something a.m. on...
There's Robert, I have the email.
That
right
morning.
There.
All of that was prior to what the issue that I brought up. So you can, go back to, days before, but...
No, that's the same day.
You're out of order. I have the floor. You're out of order.
I make a motion to overrule the
You're out of
chair's
order.
Room. I have a motion on the floor.
You're out of order. I'm not done talking.
We're going to have a vote on you're out of order.
No, you're out of order.
I have a motion to overrule the chair's decision. I have a proper second.
That's not even a proper motion.
Yes, actually it is.
No, it's not. You're out of order, David Jennings. I had the floor. I didn't interrupt you when you were talking. He had messaged me that morning. I was contagious for 24 hours. He messaged me that the morning that he did the check, said that the checks were ready. I told him I would be in there the following morning. I got in there the following morning, and he had already come up, hours after he emailed me and signed them. You are a signer, but the budget officer is who approves these checks. I'm not sure.
And I agree with you. I'm just telling you what you said.
That was prior to this incident.
It wasn't.
I had already told David Stahl that I would be in there to sign them. And when I came in to sign them in less than 24 hours, he said that you had already come up and signed them. And I asked him why. And he said, I asked them to. I said, why? You're going back. But anyway, that's fine.
May I have the floor?
Sure.
Thank you. We've gotten way off track.
Yeah.
This issue is about one issue and one issue really only. And it really boils down to section 2-82(b)(1) of our city code, which states, the city staff, the mayor, and city council members shall show mutual respect to one another.
This is what the whole BBS discussion was about before. That portion of our code is something that we need to take to heart. And not everybody on council has gotten it. If any one of those letters that the ladies wrote is true, then I believe this resolution to censor is in order. It is not acceptable to treat people this way. And I don't think the mayor's the only guilty party here. And I'm not suggesting Mr. Stahl is by any means. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a motion to amend this resolution. And I really don't like doing this. I'm embarrassed that I should have to do this. But I think we need to send a message to everybody on council that this is not just about the mayor. This is also about every individual. We need to take to heart Section 2-82B1. Absolutely. All the way through. Everybody on council needs to do that. I'm going to go ahead and read this entire resolution out loud, so it's for the record. Amendment Resolution 2016-220.
You have a second?
I'm making a motion to amend it. I haven't even made a motion yet.
Okay.
Pass that down. I move to amend Resolution 2016-220, City of Story Acres. I move to amend the resolution to read resolution censoring Mayor Kimberly Stanford, Alderman David Jennings, and Alderman Ricky Bowles of the City of Shore Acres, Texas, for violating the rules of conduct, specifically Section 2-82B1 of the City of Shore Acres City Code. Be it resolved by the City Council of the City of Shore Acres, Texas, that whereas the City of Shore Acres, hereafter sometimes city, demands mutual respect from its elected officials and staff. Whereas Section 2-82B1 of the City Code states, the city staff, the mayor, and the council members shall show mutual respect to one another. Whereas it is important to show mutual respect to one another to promote a friendly and proper city work environment so all employees are free from stress, harassment, and bullying. Whereas any conduct in violation of Section 2-82B1 will not be tolerated. Whereas any conduct in violation of Section 2-82B1 will be censured by council. Whereas a censure is an expression of opinion by the majority of council. In censuring, the council voices their opinion regarding a specific city individual violating rules of conduct and asks the same individual not to engage in similar conduct in the future. Whereas on November 30th, 2016, it was reported by three city staff members that Mayor Kimberly Stanford allegedly violated the rules of conduct, specifically Section 2-82B1 of the City Code. Whereas on November 30th, 2016, each of the three council members provided written letters memorializing what they personally viewed at City Hall by and between Mayor Kimberly Stanford and City Secretary David Stahl. Whereas generally it was stated by three city staff members that Mayor Kimberly Stanford inappropriately and in a derogatory manner shouted at the city secretary in the presence of the three city staff members and treated the city secretary in an unprofessional way. Whereas the three city staff members' written accounts are attached hereto as Exhibit A. Whereas Alderman David Jennings violated the rules of conduct, specifically Section 2-82B1 of the City Code, by posting on the city's bulletin board system on July 15, 2016, in a message responding to Alderman Hoskins, that games like these are what prompts me to tell the mayor that the grown-ups will handle it. Whereas Alderman Ricky Bowles violated the rules of conduct, specifically Section 2-82B1 of the City Code, by implying that the mayor has or will steal money from the city, by stating at a public meeting of City Council on 28 November 2016, I have concerns with the mayor's former indiscretion, criminal record, and I have serious concerns with the fact that you can go in and manipulate money and manipulate anything in our accounts. She has a history, and we have had this discussion when we found out about this stuff with our city attorney back when I was first elected. I'm not saying I don't trust her, but I don't trust her. It has It has got to do with the fact that there is a history there. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the city has analyzed the three city staff members' written accounts and of what transpired at the city hall on November 30th, 2016, by and between Mayor Kimberly Sanford and City Secretary David Stahl, as well as the public information concerning Alderman David Jennings and Alderman Ricky Bowles. It is further resolved that the city believes Mayor Kimberly Sanford, Alderman David Jennings, and Alderman Ricky Bowles have violated the rules of conduct, specifically Section 2-82B1 of the City Code, based upon written accounts and public records. It is further resolved that the city hereby censures Mayor Kimberly Sanford, Alderman Jennings, and Alderman Bowles for violating rules of conduct, specifically 2-82B1 of the City Code, and further asks that Mayor Kimberly Sanford, Alderman David Jennings, and Alderman Ricky Bowles to refrain from engaging similar conduct in the future. It is further resolved that the city respectfully requests that Mayor Kimberly Sanford, Alderman David Jennings, and Alderman Ricky Bowles issue public written apologies for violating Section 2-82B1 of the City Code. And it is so resolved. As approved this day, 12 December 2016. That is my.
So we have a motion to amend Resolution Number 2016-220 brought by Alderman Hoskins. Do we have a second?
I second.
Seconded by Schnell. Do we have discussion?
I move to divide each individual, separate each, break it down by individual.
I don't know if you can do that because that makes three motions on the floor at once.
No,
you. Can you do that? I don't think so because we would have debate and it has to be undebatable. Otherwise, there's not going to have to be a motion on the floor.
I'm going to divide it each individual council member. Separate.
This is the last time I tried to do an amendment to do a division as such. Our city attorney told me I couldn't do it because it's a motion for making an amendment. And we don't have any motion on the floor that we can divide at this point.
Ricky, you would have to amend the amendment after we vote on it.
All right.
So do we have discussion?
Yeah. I specifically brought this up. Because it goes right back to the core of the problem. The core of the problem is the city staff, the mayor, and council members shall show respect to one another. It's not about whether it's true or not. Okay, you did call Mr. Stahl a liar. You shouldn't have done that. I agree. However, I mean, anybody who says they've never lied before, probably
not entirely honest.
But that's not my point. My point isn't about what was said. The point is about mutual respect. And with this amendment, I am wishing to send the message to the rest of the council that this behavior is unacceptable. Taking the bulletin board system down because we can't adhere to Section 2-82B1 of our city code is not the answer. Because we have the same issue here during the meeting. That's what needs to be corrected. Whether this all passes or not does not really matter. The point's been made. And I am frustrated with the whole thing. Now, if I violated it, let me know. I'll be the first to stand in line and apologize. But I don't think I treat people this way. Sorry, I have the floor at this point.
Right.
I'm not speaking to the public, sir.
No, we can hear you, and it's disrupting our meeting.
You did the same thing.
It's
so
like the second or third time.
So.
I'll give up the floor.
Anybody else?
Yeah, I had a discussion. Actually, I withdraw my main motion. So, I'll withdraw my motion.
Can't you make it? That's permissible. Move on.
So, Mr. Withdrawal, we'll be moving on. 7.9, consideration and approval of resolution number 2016-221, scheduling a meeting of the city council to be held on December 19th, 2016. Alderman Jennings.
The only reason I was doing that is to pay the bills on time, but we handled that with the other ordinance, so we're good.
Okay. If there's no further business, we'll adjourn. We'll be back.
be adjourned at 8:24.